just gotta live. Everybody's gonna die. Everybody's gotta live. You gotta live before you know the reason why. I had a dream the other night, baby. I dreamt that I was all alone. But when I woke up, I took a look around myself. I was surrounded by 50 million strong. Everybody's gonna die. Ooh. Everybody's gotta have a good time. Sure enough, before you know the reason why.
The seasons change. The sun sets. The air is still and cool. Parties, truly, they're nebulous things. They're dependencies, they're reliant, and not truly self-sustaining. So essentially, folks, you cannot force a type of party that doesn't exist. But for these exact reasons, a party we will have tonight. More profoundly, the party will have us. Failing to bend a party to my will, I think I will bend the parties, because we've been thoughtful lately. We've been a little broken, but the moon is a shining disco ball. Welcome to Drew's Party Time, everyone. My name is Drew Cohen. This is WMFO 91.5 in Medford. It's 7 p.m. It's very dark, and it's the coldest night I've felt, which is a bit fitting. That little recitation was perhaps an ode to the tonal shift of today's episode. I do hate to say it, guys, but I haven't really been in a partying mood lately. I think that's okay. I'm just going to redefine party, as we do, to however I'm currently feeling. And in this particular case, I think I will be redefining party to quite literally how I'm feeling, perhaps to feelings in general. This will be a party of feels. I plan on playing some different music. It's not going to be quite as jumpy. And there will be, shockingly, a thematic link between the vibrations that we make tonight. The songs will be linked to perhaps what I'm talking about, which is usually not the case. I do, again, hate to say it, but given that this is a thinking party, I think it made sense to give it a little thought. So there actually is going to be some scripting involved in these little intermissions. I have things I want to say to the anonymous audience that is the soundboard, and these are things that I think deserved introspection, not otherwise possible from the spontaneous parties that I've previously thrown. I want to speak metaphors tonight. You know, I want to speak layers. I want to get so far away from the truth that it's right in front of us. So yes, I will not have become an extemporaneous poet. These are things that needed pages. Actors read from scripts, and we believe them too, so I hope it's going to be all cool. I'll be an actor tonight, all right? Humor me. I will play the broken soul, and you will all play very, very good listeners. You'll play therapists, okay? I think it'll be an interesting type of party. But if you haven't noticed so far, the only continuous trait of parties is music. It isn't a party if you aren't moving. So I thought I would move us first with a song that I took to mean the beginning of things. The song is called Summer. It's a warm time and the memory. And it's just about the time when I fell in love. That was Summer, guys, by a band called Busty and the Bass. Summer's over now, and we're sad. So I think we're going to deal with the sadness systematically, okay? We'll define the things to talk about tonight, in essence. We'll define them rigidly, all right? Let's bind what is unbound. Let's spool the string and wrap a hand around the heart of things. It's fun to be poetic, okay, about things that deserve poetry. And here's what I'm thinking. Love. Talking about anything more than that would probably be a stretch for anyone, especially the 19-year-old boy that I am. But I think there's so much to learn from talking about something that you know nothing about. That's going to be the gold here. So I'll start from the barest ignorance, and with love, that's where I am. And I think I'm just going to try to move myself. So if I'm being moved by, I don't know, music or memory, I am getting somewhere. I think part of my unwillingness to party conventionally recently has been because I think I haven't been moving in that way. I've been stuck in the past, at least in the summer. And that was one whole song ago. I think the issue is when it's a really, really good song. So you want to keep replaying it. And maybe it's a comfort song in a way. And you start feeling like you can't distinguish if the song is truly that good for you, or you just like music. And I can never trust myself with that. I do run a radio show, guys, but I swear they let anybody in here, okay? So maybe I know nothing about music, and truly I know nothing about music, okay? But maybe the song that we're talking about, the comfort song, truly is that good. Maybe it's something ageless, something by Steely Dan, just my genre. You know, it could have infinite depth. It could have stuff people can't see, and it could be worth exploring. But it is fundamentally just one song. And I don't want to walk through life in headphones, okay? I don't want to block out music even with music, because there is so much out there, and I'm knowingly ignorant about the subject, so I think maybe part of me just needs to feel life also without a beat, you know? I played a lot in silence as a kid, and I think maybe I need to do so again. But for now, at least, I think I'm going to give in to comfort for just a second. So all my therapists out there, think about something in your life you take for granted. I think chances are it's something you actually care deeply about. I've noticed these deep things so ingrained in us that we forget them are usually and actually the most important, and they might be the easiest things to lose. We do rarely deserve them. If you remembered, I think I was supposed to define love a little while back. Of course I won't, but I did just read a really, really good book. It's called Fugitive Pieces. I loved it. It was a book that wrote at length about things that are very hard to put into words. To quote Ursula K. Le Guin, who's my favorite author, that's why we read books and not summaries. I think the book focused on bridging things that are unusually bridged. So it talked about permanence of memory and death and combined it with geography or geology, with the land and with preservation of wood and of, unfortunately, human bones. It combined weather and literature, and I think dealing with these pervasive human themes, of course, it did say a lot about love. And it did come at a good time in my life, and this current party that I'm throwing, because that's what I've been thinking about a lot. According to Anne Michaels, who wrote this fabulous book that I do recommend, love makes you believe in death for the first time. It makes you contemplate the loss of someone and realize that you will carry that grief forever. So love is a forever. It's also a duality. It's the sister of grief, whose pain is love, and who weighs as much, according to Anne Michaels, always as a sleeping child. And I think that means love is heavy. And it just so happens this book came at a time that I was experiencing, right now, a sort of heavy love for the first time. I know it's time, perhaps, to stride in silence, but love before was always so light. Weightless, like comfort songs, like mornings, and smiles. So I guess a little bit like this.
You're always shining with your Sunday morning smile. I said you're always shining with your Sunday morning smile.
I love the way you smile.
Ooh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Smile is perfect. let me flip your pancake. Baby, I can brew your coffee too. I don't even drink it, but I'll make it hot for you. Ask me why I love you, I got answers I can give a few. But I can't stop staring. You're always shining with your Sunday morning smile.
I love the way you smile.
You're always shining with your Sunday morning smile.
I love the way
you smile. I said you're always shining with your Sunday morning smile. Ooh, you're hot and spicy, like my bloody coat and icy. I just love being your man. I wanna do it and do it and do it again. Let the old school song play. Roll another J and come back to bed. You feel so good.
That one was by Main Squeeze. I've been listening to them a lot lately. So they're a good, I suppose, comfort song metaphor extender. It's Sunday morning smile. I think I took some smiles for granted. I thought they were light when truly, I guess they were sleeping children. I lost a smile I cared about recently. I do think the smile and I will figure out the best way to listen to our music, but I think at least for now, the smile, or at least its memory, feels a lot like silence. I did consider actually playing background music over my words now, but before I abandon the music metaphor, I'll say that maybe it's important to bear the weight of silence for at least a little bit. We'll move on, though. And you know what? Maybe I'll actually talk a little bit about love, straight up. In a joyful way, actually, which is strange. This is going to sound strange, but joy isn't really the emotion I've been driven to associate with love. I'll explain that, but it's certainly not the emotion I've been portraying here or aim to leave you with tonight, because joy isn't really an emotion, I don't think. Joy is very simplistic. Happiness would be the equivalent emotion, and it's much deeper. There is sadness in happiness. There's grief in love. So the simple love, at least, the joy, at least for me, and I'll explain this simple love, it's been one of family. Loving my family, for me, has been so easy. I truly can't identify the ultimate cause of this love, and perhaps family love is characterized by not needing any, but given that love is so intrinsically linked to my familial relationships, it's hard to really isolate and talk about. And the point of this interlude is to try and do that for me. I am very privileged that this is the case. But also, this simple love hasn't really forced me to confront the nuance of other types of love until very recently. In Fugitive Pieces, this book, if love or grief is the weight of a sleeping child, my parents are the ones still holding me, you know? They're the ones worrying about waking love up and having it cry in their face. So family love can be the simplest love, or I am sure it can be the most complex for others. But in my case, family love is so pervasive it almost spills over into other areas. Wait, okay, I'll admit I wrote that one out. That does sound a little funny, doesn't it? No, not in those areas. Familial love does not spill like that. It's just I trust my family and my love that my view, kind of love as a whole, becomes sheltered by the love I've experienced with my family. It becomes an ideal. And I heed the advice that my family and its love gives me. And I don't regret that I do, but in this most recent case, I think it holds me back from understanding the deeper levels of the love that I'm truly dealing with. That doesn't really make a lot of sense. But I think ultimately it's just that I've been sheltered by this ideal of love that when I experience other types that are a little more nuanced, I'm unfamiliar. And I need to do some somewhat purposefully vague radio shows to talk about it. So this next song, it's by Jordan Rakai. It's coming up now. It's truly not very joyful, but I think we can call it happy, and it's called Family.
Let it snow.
The first time I listened to that song, I doubt she remembers it, but I was riding in the back of my mom's car. And I was falling asleep as we drove through Carlisle Center, which is where I live. It's like half an hour away from Tufts campus. And that is a memory, which I will call a movement, which is more than a moment. And I think love makes it so. Maybe. I'm not totally sure. But here, I think, is the first thing I can truly speak of with authority tonight. Love makes memories more than moments. And I think it's a driving force. I think other examples would be beauty, music, even like nostalgia, that buries these little moments in our core memory. If you haven't seen Inside Out 1, actually, you know what? Just switch to 92.5 and be done with it. But if you have seen Inside Out, you know what I mean about these core memories. We incorporate them into who we are, and I think love does that for us. Types of enduring, I think, dare I say, background love, make these core memories that we don't really notice on the daily. The love and its change on us, I think we take for granted. In my limited experience, that's been family. Sorry, guys, you've made me who I am, but I don't think I always notice it. But this recent change in my heart, you know, that sparked this whole conversation, those memories bubble up, and I can't really stop them all the time, and they really do hurt. Love is grief and all. It's taken a lot for me to admit that these memories will stay a part of me. You know, things I did with this person, little moments, they're text bubbles in my mind that I can ceaselessly reread. But my dear sister, the embodiment, by the way, of love taken for granted simply because its impossibility to match with gratitude. She gave me advice, and she said, treat these memories like a nice vacation. I mean, this type of love that isn't so simple, it's defined by change, by being forced to end. And a vacation wouldn't be so if it didn't end either. So I can look back on these memories and the love and the impact they've had on me like I'm looking back on a really good, impactful vacation. And the soundtrack of said vacation is gonna be killer. So allow me to indulge on actually a lot of levels with this next one by Olivia Rodrigo. So sorry, listeners, or one listener in particular, sorry, in advance.
My driver's license last week, just like we always talked about. Cause you were so excited for me to finally drive up to your house. But today I drove through the suburbs crying cause you weren't around. And you're probably with that blonde girl who always made me doubt. She's so much older than me. She's everything I'm insecure about. Yet today I drove through the suburbs. Cause how could I ever love someone else? And I know we weren't perfect, but I've never felt this way for no one. And I just can't imagine. Forever now I drive alone past your street. And all my friends are tired of hearing how much I miss you. But I kind of feel sorry for them, cause they'll never know you the way that I do. Yet today I drove through the suburbs and pictured I was driving.
Red lights, stop signs, I still see your face.
can imagine how you could be so okay now that I'm gone. 'Cause you didn't mean what you wrote in that song about me. 'Cause you said forever, now I drive alone past your street. You said forever, now I drive alone past your street.
I can't really say anything about that song, actually. But if it reminds you, my very good listener, of anything, let the vacation play. All right, so it is about time to remind everyone that this is Drew's Strange Party Time, that you're listening to 91.5 WMFO, which, you know, after Olivia Rodrigo, I think stands for Wailing Man Feels Often. So we gotta move, all right? We gotta confront the big one, romantic love, because I've been edging around it all night. And if by some miracle you don't know me, Drew Cohen, intimately, honestly, this is my party, and it does kind of suck for you, but I will tell you that recently romantic love has been a huge area of growth and introspection for me. So yeah, I had a breakup. That's why I'm melodramatizing Tufts Freeform Radio for an hour. And in this particular blurb, I'm not sure how to go about confronting the particular venue of love that I want to talk about, the ugly side of romance, the mistakes, which, I have to say, almost always speak to other issues rather than love itself. I believe the last thing to die in a relationship are good intentions. So how, then, am I supposed to confront all of the hurt that I've felt and caused others to feel in what should be such a mutual care scenario? At what point are we trying to grow to look after ourselves or just being selfish? And I don't have anything close to answers. Of course I don't. I just got a big knot of confusion in my belly that hurts sometimes. Gassy guilt. That imagery might have missed a little. Anyways, the advice that I've been given, guess who, is that you don't address these unanswerable questions. They're bundled somewhere in the unknowable nature of love, which I guess feels just peachy to say. But the point is to forgive yourself. Nobody knows what they're doing. Intentions fall utterly short of ignorance. So this next song is by my favorite drummer in the world, Nate Smith. It's called If Love Won't, Can We Forgive Ourselves?
Falling over, starting over, starting over. Day, night, falling, starting over. Northern border, northern border, southern border, southern border. Love is broken at the border. Meet me halfway between the devil and the marching saints. Halfway, halfway. Between now and then, I'm one of the men. I said about our love is ringing in the air. It's what we said it all true. What you said about what I said about our love is ringing in the air. It's what we said it all true. Can we forgive ourselves? If love won't forgive, if love won't, can we forgive ourselves?
Between now and then, I'm on the mend. said it all true.
Can we forgive ourselves?
Love won't, love won't forgive if love won't.
Can we forgive ourselves?
Can we forgive ourselves?
Love won't forgive if love won't.
Can we forgive ourselves?
Can we forgive ourselves?
Meet me halfway between the devil and the margin, say.
Love is so darn overwhelming at times. I swear, you know, in some moments, I'm a sociopath, I don't feel anything. In others, I'm a poet, and I cry at the, I don't know, the gust of wind, because it reminds me of something else. As you can see, I internalize a lot of my confusion with my emotions, and I try to label myself, when really, I'm truly neither a poet nor a sociopath. I'm really just a human, and I'm a bit naive. So, for the sake of our conversation of love, let's try not to get overwhelmed, and let's talk emotions. I think the biggest issue with emotions is probably trying to talk about emotions. Like I said, from experience, overthinking emotions, which I will call symptoms of love, is a surefire way to make you depressed, which is a symptom of depression. The rational part of your brain, I don't think, was ever meant to mix with the irrationality in your heart, okay? Both of them are essential, no doubt. Both of them are utterly natural, so I just remind myself not to unnaturally probe who I am based on how I feel or how I don't feel. Now, I don't know how many of my current listener therapists are in college or perhaps go to Tufts University. I don't know how much news Tufts Daily is letting out from inside the gulag, but it's chaos in here, okay? Someone's shooting mortars and breaking hearts left and right. I just think we all need to calm down and recognize what college means for a lot of people. I think it means being overwhelmed and feeling these things for the first time, at least being forced to confront a new dimension of love and of loss. So we can talk emotions if we will, but don't talk them to ourselves, all right? I think we should talk to another person. Speak irrationality to irrationality, heart to heart. Talk to a roommate. Probably don't talk to an ex. I mean, you can talk to a friend, and you can talk to a piece of paper, and then you can talk to a number of anonymous listeners on a radio show. All of these things work. And then I think the only true solution is just to feel what you feel. So this next song is by Crosby, Stills, and Nash, who are actually known for overwhelming interpersonal relationships, and it's called Carried Away.
You came from out of the skies, your skin and your eyes, the colors of bronze, the moon in your ear, twinkled and shone. Soon you'll be gone, sailing out on the blue, your old man, you drifting along, leaving me here, thinking it through. Soon you'll be gone. Changes as fast as I can,
Screaming to say, I wanna be carried away.
You know, I think it's about time to remind our listeners that you're listening to Drew's Party Time. Probably this episode more appropriately labeled Drew's Hardy Time. This is 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford, and this is the freest form radio gets. You know, I have an extremely vivid memory from about like a decade ago, which is something teenagers rarely get to say, and it's about my iguana. Again, if you don't know me intimately, by some miracle, I have an iguana. His name is Zach, and I can earnestly say that I feel for him the purest love I've ever felt, the purest form. Not the strongest, I do feel like I kind of have to say that to save some face, but love obviously isn't a competition. It's just a sort of inalterable form of love that is incredibly constant. I'm just moved, I think, very easily by thoughts of my iguana. At least that's what little 9-year-old Drew thought at school, thinking of death for the first time. What do we love about pets? I know we empathize with them, and I know Zach loves me. So I think the humanness in us imparts a little pure form of love in them, and maybe we feel our own love reflected back at us. That's kind of an interesting thought. It explains why we understand our pet's love so well, and why it truly does feel so one-dimensional. In this love, there's no communication besides what we, I think, as humans decide to create. It doesn't mean the love isn't real, much as nothing is real besides what our brains and our hearts create for us. So people maybe love pets as a way to love themselves. Of course, there is a very big biological element to things. And as much as we, I guess, don't want to admit it, there's a huge biological element to love. I heard recently from my psychologist sister that there's a collection of certain genes that is somehow, I don't know, subliminally obvious to our minds or hearts, and it's literally like which diseases someone is resistant to, and that makes us more attracted to them, I guess, in the biological pursuit of stronger genomes for our progeny. So there is a fundamental origin of attraction, which isn't the same as love, that's also just based on physical traits. Again, genetics, like big eyes, cuteness, they're things we feel for pets, and I guess sometimes people, like babies and such. It's a silly, frankly, though I know it is a huge part of love, I think it's a silly thing to give much weight, because everything, at some level, is fundamentally biological, and it doesn't detract from the human experience that we all know, and is so obviously much more than that. So, Zach is almost he's almost 15 years old now, which is truly on the upper edge of the iguana lifespan. And so now, a decade later, I'm thinking about his death, and I know what love is. I do miss him. A little reptile that fits in a hand, and he probably thinks I'm a piece of lettuce. but anyways, this next song is a lullaby. It's a lullaby. It's by Billy Joel, actually for his mom, named Rosalinda, and it's about giving love. And I don't know, I think that Zach's probably gonna like it.
Have all grown, and all you have is just a cat and a silent telephone. Ah, Rosalinda, why do you weep? Ah, Rosalinda, alone you sleep. What neighbors turn away? What will it take for them to learn that all you want to do is love and to be loved in return? Mm-hmm. Oh, Rosalinda, we've gone away. Oh, Rosalinda, still you stay. Being what you've always been and doing what you've always done. How can we give you back the time you gave to us when you were young? Ah, Rosalinda, turn out the light. Ah, Rosalinda, say goodnight. Now that the children have all grown, now that we've all gone away, now that you're sitting at your home without a word to say.
That clapping there was actually because it's a live version. That's a very rare song, but it's a very beautiful one. And yeah, I did just play it for my iguana. And I don't think that's that silly. So it is getting a little late now. Not too late. I think we've got time for more love, of course. But just to remind our newcomers, this is 91.5 WMFO. My name is Drew Cohen. You're my therapist. And I've been talking about love and, you know, other nonsense for certainly some time. So let's get down to brass tacks, all right? Let's beat love bloody. What is love, okay? There's lots of types of love, certainly. We love for our family. We love in memories, for pets and places. There's too many types, and just one word. So what ties them all together besides strong emotions, which I personally feel are symptoms of some other root cause? I can't say. Google says that love is an intense feeling of deep affection touched by tenderness. And I thought that was surprisingly good. Love on paper is essentially just that. I don't think anyone doubts or questions the tender affection we feel. I think it's love in reality that gets mired so deeply with other ideas it becomes indivisible, almost subatomic, like some elemental particle of human experience. I mean, why struggle with defining love when we can just feel it? Well, as I was distressed to realize upon coming to Tufts, stuff prevents us from feeling love sometimes. College freshmen get hit with that realization a lot, I think, that love, while maybe easy in itself, is part of life, which is not so easy. Life is full of mistakes and ignorance and growth, which, as young people, I think it's our unshirkable duty to experience it in its entirety. So now I'm talking to the freshman feelers, the crew of the situationship that may have sailed. Every relationship we have now at this point in our life is for the sole purpose of growing. And I think I had to lay it out like that for myself in order to really reconcile the way I was feeling. I think soulmates do exist, but maybe there's a lot of matching souls out there. And especially now, our souls have not developed yet into what they're going to be. That person that you and I miss, the person that college as a place of growth may be docked at Situation Harbor, that person was not who they will be in 4 years. And in the years after that, none of us will be who we are now. And I think a key part of that growth, as I have been learning a lot recently, is in losing that very person. And maybe you'll meet up with them again as your whole soul, but for now, you can appreciate the need to grow from growing apart. As I speak, I gotta say that words are especially futile. I know that's a bit paradoxical. It's hard to tell whether communicating is simply drawing out the pain, elongating it, and it's already so piercing. And communicating, honestly, is probably a stretch. I swear I do make as much sense in love as I do about love, which probably explains my situation a lot. So my advice, for all it's worth, is to say you're sorry. Say you're sorry to that person, then say it to yourself, and then just let the change happen. So I think this is going to be the end of my planned interludes. We are running a little bit short on time. And this is truly all I felt like saying to you, to whoever listened. I think I can peacefully drop my role as the broken soul. And you can all go back to being crappy listeners. I'm kidding. You guys were great. Thank you, therapists, for joining me tonight. This was a strange but fulfilling party I think we had. Thank you, everyone out there, for being who you are, which is truly the only thing worth thanking. So this last song that I'm going to play as part of the whole love party, like the very first, it's by Busty and the Bass, and they're a wonderful band. I've been listening to them a lot recently as a substitute for silence. Thank you again. For no particular reason, this song is called Eddie.
Eddie, don't lose the kid yet. It's just a symptom of all you wish we did. Judge and jury, the way you speak of sin. Don't hold yourself to it. You can be hard, you know it's true. But only yourself ain't loving you. And I won't take away, but damn, I'll get through to you. Oh, I could tell you it gets better in my heart. I see you living in all.
Could tell you it gets better in my heart. I WMFO and